Blog Talk Radio.
Nehemiah 8 and 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen. Amen. Lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. When we receive a word from the Lord, our answer should be, Amen. Let the church say, Amen. Let the church say, Amen. Let the church say, Amen. God has spoken. So let the church say, Amen. Yeah. Let the church, let them say, Amen. If you believe the word, let the whole church say, Amen. God has spoken. So let the church say, Amen. Lift your hands, lift your hands. God has spoken. So let the church say, Amen. No. Thank you, Lord. God has spoken. So let the church say,
everybody.
Church.
God has spoken.
Well, well.
church. Let the church say, let the church say. About to die, knowing that God is not a man, he just can't lie. In spite of what the devil does, no, you've got a word that has come from above.
Your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Pastor Marvin Winans this morning. And let the church say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. I feel all right just off that right there. God has spoken. So if he's spoken, all we got to do is agree. By saying amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's spoken concerning us today. Yeah. He has spoken concerning his people. But we must believe what he said. We must hold on tight to what he has said. We see so much going on. Yeah. And people got their own thoughts and thinking it's what they think is going to be, what they think they know about God. But let me tell you something. He said in these last days he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Now, that's what he said. Told us about the old men, the young men, the daughters having visions and prophets. He told us all about this. He even said that he was going to raise up a people that was going to obey. But not everybody. Yeah. Simply because God used you, that don't mean you belong to him. Listen, we belong to him if we obey him. Now, that's what his word said. You can't hold that against me. I wasn't there when God inspired man to write it, but I believe it this morning. Hallelujah. All we got to do is agree with what he said. Amen. Every word that we believe, he inspired man to write. Amen. Sometimes he'll speak to us personally in our spirit. All we got to do is say amen. Agree with him because he won't withhold no good thing from us. He won't do it. I can remember one time I had did something bad. And to be honest with you, it had something to do with sexual things, looking at things and foolishness. And when I come to myself, I was like, oh, I done messed up. I felt I repented, but I wasn't forgiving myself, and I felt so bad. Oh, my goodness. God sent Darren Pettis along, and he sung a song to me, and that song meant the world to me. I still hear it sometimes now. And it let me know when God has forgiven you, he didn't bring you this far to forget you and leave you. He didn't bring you this far to forgive you and leave you. So we ain't got to feel no waste time. He brought us all the way from where we used to be up until this present time. Brought you all the way up through your birth. Hallelujah. Yeah, your childhood, your teenage days, your young adult days, your middle-aged days. Yeah, he brought us all the way up until this time and still bringing many of us out. And so we're grateful this morning unto him. We thank him today. And look, we're going back this morning and we're looking at 1 Samuel. We're going just a tad bit over to the 13th verse, and then we're going on over into the 14th verse. But if we remember, God told Samuel to tell Israel that if they got a king, he would take his son, their sons, and put them in his army. Told him what he'd do with the daughters. Told him he'd take your land, your a tenth of what you grow, all your stuff, your cows and all. You got to give it up to the king. And when he gets your stuff, he's going to give it to his servants. A lot of the best he'll keep for himself, but the balance, he's giving it to his servants. Yeah, God warned them, like he warned us many times. He's spoken. Let us say amen. He has warned us, but we keep on going. We ignore what God has said, and we can't do that. If we want to be blessed completely, we must obey what he said. Forget about ourselves. The songwriter said, concentrate on him and worship him. I'm going to say, forget about yourself. Focus. Concentrate on him and obey him. Yeah, because we belong to him if we obey him today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right, Brother Louis, God bless you. Have a blessed weekend, you and Sherry. Yeah, praying for you that all go well this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We thank you today. We're going to prayer and one more song. And when we come back, we're coming back with our scripture reading. And we're going to get right into the 13th chapter and 14th chapter. And if we can get further, we will today. We're not going to prolong the time this morning because I spent a day or so on one or two chapters. And we want to finish the book because I want y'all to see what we thought soap operas was. I want y'all to see what go on. Yeah, what has gone on and what God has healed and what he's made a way for and what he's allowed and what he didn't allow and how he forgave. I just want you to see some stuff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you thanking you for another week ending. We thank you, Lord, for another Friday. We thank you that you brought us all week long up until this present time. Father, many of us didn't feel well, but yet you kept us. And Lord, you didn't keep us against our will. You kept us because we wanted to be kept by you. We come this morning thanking you, Father, for life, health, and strength. We thank you for waking us up closed in our right minds. We thank you today that we are on your side, but most of all, you're on our side and you for us. Your word said we could cast our cares upon you, Father, for you cared for us. We thank you this morning, hallelujah, for every promise that you've given unto us. We thank you for the suffering, the bleeding, the hanging, the dying, the conquering all and rising with all power of your son, Jesus Christ. He did it for us, that we would have a right to the tree of life, that you could redeem us back to you. We thank you this morning. Are you the great God, kind, merciful, and loving and caring for your people. Father, whatever you make, you take care of it. And you've taken care of us. But many of us, including me, have not taken care of ourselves. Father, we've eaten wrong. We've done wrong. We stopped exercising. We stopped walking. We stopped doing things. Everything became microwave button, push button, and touch and click. And Lord, we got accustomed to that. So we haven't been working the limbs that we should. We come for healing, God, but we don't pay attention to health. And we need to pay attention to being healthy. Help us today, Lord. We're leaning and depending on you. We don't want it to get so bad until we have to do it. God, we want to get there before it gets too bad. We want to remember that this body, it requires certain things. You made it to require certain things. And Lord, help us to do what the body needs to do. And without you, we can't do it. So we're leaning and depending on you this morning. We're trusting you to bless us, to exercise more. God, cut back on what we shouldn't have. Cut out what we shouldn't have. In the name of Jesus, we thank you today. And Father, we come boldly this morning before the throne of grace. And we ask for forgiveness of all our sins and wrongdoings, our wrong thoughts, our wrong speakings, our wrong feelings. And Father, though our sins be as scarlet, we ask you this morning to wash us as white as snow. Cleanse us this morning from all unrighteousness. And Father, give us a clean heart and renew the right spirit within us today. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. And we ask this morning that you would lead and guide us in the right path for your name's sake. Help us today to keep our mind on you. Father, you'll keep us in perfect peace. Help us to look to the hills from which cometh our help today, all day and all night. For all of our help comes from you, Father. You made the heavens and the earth. I come before you this morning, bow down, bringing every caller and every listener, those coming through the archives and the podcasts. Lord, we ask this morning that you would bless your people. Move for your people in a mighty way this day. We know you to be a right now God. And Father, many need you today. We ask for those that have gotten paid that, Lord, you would multiply. Multiply the paycheck in the name of Jesus. Remind them to pay their tithes and offerings. Lord, remind them to plant a seed and grow unto them. Multiply like you did the fish and the loaves for your people. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. We come this morning, Father, asking that, God, you would bless every calling, every listener family, every household represented here, near and far. Lord, you know what they're standing in need of. And we know that you supply need according to your riches and glory by your son, Christ Jesus. Do it for them today. And Father, we bring those that are sick before you this morning. And we ask that you would touch and heal in the name of Jesus. It's you that heal all manner of sickness and disease. And again, Father, before it get to that far, that it become a disease or it become too far gone, Lord, we ask this morning that, Father, you would do it right now in the name of Jesus. Give us a mind to be healthy or give us a mind to do what's best for our bodies in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning. Heal today every illness, God, every sickness, every disease for those that are here this morning. Lord, these faithful few that come to Jesus in the morning, we know that you're able. Again, there's nothing too hard for you to do. We thank you for hearing this morning. We thank you for answering us. Hallelujah. We wait patiently on you. But without you, Father, we can't do it. We can do nothing. Help us this morning. We come again this morning, Father, to ask you to remember those that are incarcerated. Father, remember those that are locked up but seeking you to turn from their wicked ways, to humble themselves and pray. Father, they're looking for you to forgive their sins and heal their lands. That, Lord, when they turn the prison doors open, when they loose the jail doors, that, God, they want to continue in you. Strengthen these, your people, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we ask that you would bless those that are in every branch of the military. Bless widowers and bereaved families and intercessory prayer people everywhere praying for others in the name of Jesus. Bless preachers everywhere, preaching in the name of Jesus in obedience unto you and love for your people. Thank you this morning, Father. And Father, we ask that you would continue to bless Israel and prosper Jerusalem. Loose your protecting angels to stand watch, to shield and protect them, God. Keep them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Bless all our brothers and sisters overseas that stand in the need this morning. Father, we all stand in the need, but God, many have a much more need because they can't say your name out loud. They can't show a Bible. They can't tell others about the goodness of you out loud. So, Father, I ask that you would bless these brothers and sisters. Father, bless all of them. Bless their children, their household, every family member, near and far from them as well this morning, in the name of Jesus. And Father, bless them this weekend, every caller and every listener, every family member and every friend. Lord, bless this weekend like never before. Oh, send happiness and send joy and peace in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we ask that you would bless America, continue, God, and bless the leadership. And Father, what shouldn't be, God, we ask that not only you expose it, but that, Lord, you would remove it. All in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we give you glory. We give you the honor. And we give you the praise. And Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name. And ask this morning that you would bless this segment of Jesus in the morning. Have your way here today. Father, speak to us. Feed us until we want no more. Send your spirit, Lord, to open up our wisdom. All that we can walk in this word according to your desire. Just the way you want us to live it daily. We thank you this morning for hearing. We thank you for answering our prayers. We thank you, Lord, again for being on our side in spite of us. We thank you for looking beyond our fault, Father, and yet meeting our needs. Oh, we give you glory this morning. We give you the honor and praise. And Father, we ask all of this again in your Son Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, the petitioner. Thank you, our intercessor. Thank you, the one, our mediator, that take our petition to the Father. We thank you this morning, and we know that you're one. So we thank you, hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We give you glory, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, His Majesty. Oh, we thank God this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He knows what's best for us this day. And if we'll trust him, he will bring what's best for us to pass. Yeah. And so we thank him. I don't know, it's feeling a little cool down my way. Brother Lewis said, did a lot of raining over there in Ocala where he's at. And I don't know if it rained or not. I hadn't looked outside yet. I woke up and got my water and, you know, my face washed and stuff like that. And I didn't even look out to see what the weather was. I know later I have to go out, but I got to check that weather and see what it's like because it's awfully cool inside. But I thank God. I thank God I have a nice house coat that'll keep me warm and I don't have to turn the heat on because if I turn the heat on, it'll get too hot. Yeah. So God knows what's best for us this morning. Thank God for each and every caller today and those that will be coming through the archives and the podcast. God bless you. I see many don't get to listen until the evening, but they go ahead and take a listen. I thank God for you. Thank God for you. Some come in the morning, and then they go back and listen again. And so I'm grateful unto you. I thank you for it. Yeah. I know yesterday Sister Spinner called me, and I was asleep. I didn't. I think I took a nap, a power nap, later on in the evening, but I didn't get to lay down like I thought I would and just go on and sleep it on out because my daughter and a couple other things. But nonetheless, God is faithful. I feel much better this morning. No sugar yesterday, drank water, and feeling better. And so I thank God for it. I know he's a healer, and I know with his stripes, I'm already healed. I just got to go through the process. Yeah. I think I ate too many peppermint balls and then had peppermint tea. And in the peppermint tea, I had honey. It's still sweet. It's a natural sweet, but it's still sugary. And had peppermint balls and quite a few, if I'm honest. Yeah, I love them. And the soft ones, who melt in your mouth. And so I think I overdid that. Not only run the blood sugar up, but run the blood pressure. Yeah. So I got to be careful. And I called a doctor. They talked to him, got with me right away yesterday. And I got to go do some blood work. And it will be all right. Because I'm really on one medication, and that's Celebrex for the knee, you know, the pain and inflammation in the knee. Other than that, I don't have no medication. Yeah, I was taking metformin and a bunch of foolishness. I prayed for healing. Hallelujah. God heard my cry, but now sometimes if we overdo things, it's going to spark things, you know. And so I'm grateful unto him. So it's a day of fasting for elaborate, you know, not fasting unto God. Because when I fast unto God, I'm not ever telling nobody I'm fasting. You would never know when I fast. So today is for lab work, to get the blood drawn, to see what's going on, you know, that kind of stuff. They test everything. And so I'm thankful unto the Lord that he gave man that kind of knowledge. Yeah, yes, he did. Gave man great knowledge and medical stuff. But now we know sometimes they get a little crooked with things. But nonetheless, God is faithful if we are faithful unto him. Yeah. So we thank him this morning. And we're going to one more song of the morning. And when we come back, we're coming back with our scripture reading and talking about Jonathan, Saul, and Samuel. Hallelujah. Wait, I just had a couple right here.
Listen, for those of you that are going through, for those of us that are waiting on his promise, understand God has not forgotten you. When times get tough, you got to look up to heaven and encourage yourself and say,
hold on a little while longer. Here's what you gotta do.
mount a bone wing.
Like an eagle.
An eagle's that soar.
Go ahead and tell them how you feel.
I'm so glad.
I'm so glad.
That I've learned how to wait.
Oh, oh, oh.
In the midst of my waiting. I'm getting a blessing every day.
Wait, what?
Jesus, we give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. Oh, yeah. Y'all excuse me 1 minute. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God is faithful this morning. And so we're thankful unto him. We're going back to look a little bit into chapter 13 of 1 Samuel. And we remember that God told them what would take place, but I don't think they understood and they didn't care. At the time, they wanted a king. They wanted somebody to fight for them. They wanted somebody to be over them, to rule over them. And God tried to explain, I've been your ruler, I've been your God, I've been your Lord, I fought many battles for you, I sent your family members out of Egypt where they was down there dogging them out, I sent them out, you know, set them free. They got out to the Red Sea, and when they looked behind them, they saw Pharaoh, they didn't look to me, they complained to Moses. Yeah. I opened the Red Sea, let them, they was out there in the wilderness. What would have been a short trip took them longer because they just couldn't get it together. Like many of us today, we just can't depend on God. We can't trust him. We can't give God our all. We got to mess with something. We got to have it this way, and we need it that way, and it's what we think, not what God's word said, because you can think what you want, but if his word didn't say it, we out of gas. We in trouble. We got to go according to what his word says and hold on to it. Hold on to his word. Don't let go. Yeah. Hallelujah. Back, Brother Louis. All right now. God bless you. So look, over in 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter, starting at the first verse, we read it yesterday, but I wanted to go over some things here. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel. He took for himself 3,000 men of Israel, of whom he kept 2,000 with him in Michmash and in the mountain of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah, in the land of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent back to their tents. Now he done got 3,000 men together, 3,000 soldiers. And spreading them out a little bit. God told him what was going to happen. And took your sons and made them his footmen, made them his warriors. Yeah. And Jonathan made an attack on the armed force of the Philistines stationed at Gibeah. And news was given to the Philistines that the Hebrews were turned against them. And Saul had a horn sounded through all the land. And all Israel had the news that Saul had made an attack on the Philistines, and that Israel was bitterly hated by the Philistines, and the people came together after Saul to Gilgal. And the Philistines came together to make war on Israel, 3,000 war carriages and 6,000 horsemen, and an army of people like the sands of the sea in numbers. They came up and took up their position in Michmash to the east of Bethaven. Look now, he had him 3,000 men, and he kept so many with him and sent so many to there and gave Jonathan something. But look, and these people, they murderers. They didn't care. They found out Israel didn't like them. They really hated Israel. Yeah. Because if we remember, they took the Ark of God and they didn't care for Israel. And before Israel run to God, they ran to man. Yeah. They wanted a king, so they ran to Saul. And these people had 3,000 war carriages and 6,000 horsemen and an army of people like the sands of the sea in number. You couldn't even count them all. When the men of Israel saw the danger they were in, for the people were troubled, they took cover in cracks in the hillsides and in the woods and in rocks and holes and hollows. They went to hide. Didn't run to God. They don't say they went to praying up on this part here. They went to running, scared. Verse 7 says, and a great number of the people had gone over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. But Saul was still in Gilgal. And all the people went after him, shaken in fear. 8 says, and he went on waiting there for 7 days, the time fixed by Samuel. Remember, Samuel the prophet now, and he told him what he needed to do. You wait for me for 7 days, and I'm coming. And we're going to see what God would have us to do. No, 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 he couldn't do that. Not Mr. Saul. And see, a lot of us that way. We can't wait on God. We need it and we need it right now. We thank. Yeah, it's an emergency for me because we listening at what man say. But no need to listen at what man say when we got Almighty God that have all power. We want to trust God and what he said about our situation. Yeah, because man put fear in you and make it worse than it ever was. It's not that bad, but dealing with man, he will put, I call it yeast in it and blow it up and have you shaking in your boots. And there's no need for that. When God have all power and all power is on our side, but we got to learn how to have patience and learn to come up in our faith. He gave us all a measure of faith, but we can increase in faith because we're talking about the true and living God, Jehovah, that have all power. There's no higher power. So 8 says, and he went on waiting there for 7 days, the time fixed by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were starting to go away from him. Then Saul said, come here and give me the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And he made a burnt offering to the Lord. Now look, God told him to wait 7 days. Sent the prophet Samuel to tell him 7 days. But for him, God wasn't moving as quick as he needed him to because he's looking at what the people thinking and how the people feeling. And sometimes we do that. We looking at what God done told us what to do, but we looking at, and we got to wait for him, but we looking at our children. We looking at them on the job. We think about what our husband going to think, what our family member, what the church members going to think. Everybody but obeying what God said. We got to learn to stand still and wait on him. He's coming. Yeah, if he gave you a specific time, just wait. If he said Friday and he don't move by Friday, just keep waiting. He's coming. He's going to move. Yeah, because sometimes it's our faults, I believe, sometimes, that hinders the blessings of God in our lives. It's the way we think about that. It's the way we put it in perspective, and that's not what God said. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Be of a good courage. He's going to strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. But many times we don't want to wait on him. It appears to us he's taking too long. That's when we go to the word of God and remember what he says. And sometimes we can pray for the scripture. Lord, give me the scripture that will help me with this right here and that I don't even think wrong concerning it. Yeah. Because he said in his word, all things must. He didn't say it might. He said all things must work together for our good. For them that he called and those that love him. But a lot of times we don't demonstrate love for God. No. We take him for granted. In some cases, it's like he's not that important. He God. I heard something Oprah said one day, and after she said that, let me tell y'all, I could not turn my television again to watch her. He's a jealous God. What he have to be jealous of? I said, oh, no, I can't fool with nobody that compete with Almighty God. I'm talking trash. No. I'm not going to be able to do it. But look, we got to learn to wait on him. If he gave you something specific, do just that. Don't do no more. I don't care what your children say, your husband, your wife, the job say, whoever, the professor at the college. I don't care who say what. If he gave you specific instructions, I need you to stay right there with them instructions until they end, until they fall apart. Because he's coming. He's coming in his own time. Sometimes we're in a rush to get something done because of what the people said they would do. But now God have it in control. That good thing he began to do, he's going to continue it, even in you. So 9 says, then thou come here and give me the burnt offering and peace offering, and he made a burnt offering to the Lord. Now that's not what God said. He told him to wait 7 days. I want you to remember that now. Over in 10 it says, and when the burnt offering was ended, Samuel came. He was waiting on Samuel. And on the 7th day, Samuel wasn't there. So the people scared, and he looking at the people. And he done heard what Samuel told him God said 7 days, but he couldn't be with that. He looking at what the situation. He's not looking at the bigger picture. He's not looking at greater is he that live within us than he that is in the world. He's looking at what's happening with the people right now. Yeah. Samuel came. And 11 says, and Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were going away from me. Look at that, going away from me. He wanted to be popular. He wanted to be liked. He wanted to be loved. He wanted to be a people person. You got them kind on the job. You got them kind in the church, but they don't have the right spirit for people being people person. They don't have all that. That's what they want to do. Even ushers shouldn't be ushers sometimes because they're so mean. Sometimes pastors is not called a pastorship. They're so mean. Now, what they should do is be cutting the grass at the church and keeping the yard of the church up, not up in the pulpit. Because they mean to everybody and they're just messing people up. Are we back to Kenyon? Well, we are at 11. So he asked us, what have you done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were going away from me and you had not come at the time which had been fixed. And the Philistines had come together at Michmash. 12 says, I said now, the Philistines will come down on me at Gilgal, and I have made no prayer for help to the Lord. Do you hear that? I made no prayer for help to the Lord. So what do you expect, Sarah? What do you expect, Barbara? You haven't sought after me. You haven't sought my face. You haven't come to me and asked me for help or direction. So what do you expect, Barbara? And I told you to wait for 7 days. But you looking at the flesh and blood. You're not looking at in the spirit. You're looking at the situation, what's going on. 12 says, I said, now the Philistines will come down on me at Gilgal. And I have made no prayer for help to the Lord. And so forcing myself to do it, I made a burned offering. Forcing myself to do it. Why, Barbara? Why would you go through all of this? Why would you do extra? These people, in the midnight hour when you're alone, they're not here with you, Barbara. In the midnight hour when you're crying, they don't wipe your tears. Still, you need somebody. In the midnight hour, folks sleep. Nobody's around for you. Who do you call or you seek me? Seek me for everything. Don't tell me about the people. Don't tell me about what you thought. Obey what I said. I said wait 7 days. And you looking for Samuel, but you should have been looking for me. Samuel will belong to me. I made the prophet for my pleasure. I know how many hairs are on the prophet's head. I'm Almighty God, Barbara, that have all power. There's no higher power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So he forced himself to do it. I made a burned offering. So look, 13 says, and Samuel said to Saul, you have done a foolish thing. Yeah. You have done a foolish thing. Yeah. All right now, Jerry Crown. Yeah. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He's going to strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's Psalms 27 and 14. See, we don't have the waiting power. We want everything right now because of what they said. The mortgage company said, if I don't have that money by this time, they're going to shut me down. They're going to foreclose on me. Who gave you the house? Now, if you gave yourself that house, yeah, you better get to moving. You better get to doing something. But if God gave that to you, or you got the house and then you found God and you gave the house to God, I don't care what they say, go back to God. I didn't even really have a deep nothing because I knew this. If he gave it to me, he's going to take care of it. They got a song, and it's an older song. I don't know how, but God is going to fix it. I don't know when, but he's going to do it. I only know that he's going to make a way. That's all I know. And it's not my business, really, how he does it. My business is to wait on him, obey him, and to thank him. And to occupy until he comes. Begin to help somebody else, yeah, that I can do. See, I can't do nothing about my situation, but see, your situation over there, I can do a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. I can keep the kids while you go to work. I can bake a chicken and put some string beans and potatoes and some bread and a salad together or something like that and have something for you and your children when they get out of school and you get home from work. I can help with something. There's got to be something I can do. But I got to wait on God to fix my stuff, which is all right. I learned to wait on it. I learned to depend on it. I learned to trust him. And it's already all right today in Jesus' name. So look, we're going on. 13 says, as Samuel said to Saul, what have you done? A foolish thing. You have done a foolish thing. You have not kept the rules which the Lord your God gave you. It was the purpose of the Lord to make your authority over Israel safe forever. You're a man, in other words, Saul. You don't have no power. You can't keep the people safe. Only God can. He gave you some rules. And the rules had purpose. But you couldn't wait until God moved. 14 says, but now your authority will not go on. He done took it from him. The Lord is searching for a man who is pleasing to him in every way. Lord, don't take your anointing from me. God, don't move me out of my spot. Help me, Lord, to stay with you. Help me not to be disobedient. But help me to stay faithful to you and nobody else. And because I'm faithful to you where I should be faithful, where I should have integrity, God, you'll bring me to that place. Oh, yeah. So he done took it and given it to his neighbor. Watch this. We're going to keep reading. Said the Lord, searching for a man who is pleasing to him in every way. He done took the authority from your side, and God is yet searching for your replacement. And this time, he want a man who going to please him in every way. Hallelujah. He going to go to church. He going to kneel down and pray before God and to God. He going to serve God's people where he came. He going to be a cheerful giver. Oh, he going to love folk. He going to love the good, the bad, and the ugly. He just not going to single people out. But he going to pray for everybody that he remember to pray for. He going to places where others won't go. Hallelujah. Where they scared to go even. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So look, he telling them now, he's searching for the man who going to please him in every way. Has given him the place of ruler over his people. Because you have not done what the Lord gave you orders to do. Because, see, Saul got in there and took the position lightly. He got in there in looking at the power. He's not looking at the fact that God blessed him to be ruler over his people. And you got to be careful. I have to be careful what I bring here. Careful how I treat you every morning, every day, anytime. I got to be careful. I got to pray for you. Yeah. I got to touch and agree with somebody else because when two or three are gathered in his name and touching and agree, he in the midst for you, for you, for you. Hallelujah. Yeah. 15 says, then Samuel went up to Gilgal, and the rest of the people went up after Saul against the men of war. And they came from Gilgal to Gibeah in the land of Benjamin. And Saul took the number of the people who were with him, about 600 men. 16 says, and Saul with Jonathan, his son, and the people who were with them was waiting in Geba in the land of Benjamin. But the tents of the Philistines were in Michmash, yeah. And three bands of men came out from the Philistines to make an attack. One band went by the road which goes to Ophrah, into the land of Shur, and another went in the direction of Beth Horon, and another went by the hill looking down on the valley of Zebulun in the direction of the wasteland. Now there was no iron worker in all the land of Israel, no iron worker, so they couldn't have swords and things, but wait, I got to get back to it. Okay, now there was no iron workers in all the land of Israel. But the Philistines said, fear the Hebrews make themselves swords of steel. But all the Israelites had to go to the Philistines to get their plows and blades and axes and hooks made sharp. 21 says, for they had instruments for putting an edge on their plows and blades and forks and axes, and for putting iron points on their ox driving rods. 22 says, so on the day of the fight at Michmash, not a sword or a spear was to be seen in the hands of any of the people with Saul and Jonathan. Only Saul and his son Jonathan had them. 23 says, and the armed force of the Philistines went out to the narrow way of Michmash. We're going to 14. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 14, starting at verse 1. Now one day Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who was with him, looking after his arms, come, let us go over to the Philistine force over there. But he said nothing to his father. He didn't say nothing to Saul, Jonathan and Saul's son. But he told the young man that was with him, let's go over here to these Philistines and let's see what's going on. Verse 2 says, and Saul was still waiting in the farthest part of Geba, under the fruit tree in Migron. There were about 600 men with him. And Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, brother of Ichabod, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the priest of the Lord in Shiloh, who had the ephod, and the people had no idea that Jonathan had gone. Wow, I forgot about Ichabod. Yeah, the son of Phinehas. Yeah, that's Eli's son, the Eli boys. So now, I'm looking back at some stuff. Y'all forgive me. And the people had no idea that Jonathan had gone. Verse 4 says, now between the narrow roads over the mountains by which Jonathan was making his way to the Philistines' forces, There was a sharp overhanging rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. One was named Boaz, and the other Sine. Verse 5 says, the one rock went up on the north in front of Meshmash, and the other on the south in the front of Jeba. Verse 6 says, and Jonathan said to his young servant who had his arm, come, let us go over to the armies of these men who have no circumcision. Ooh, Jonathan. It may be that the Lord will give us help, but there's no limit to his power. The Lord is able to give salvation by a great army, by a small band. And his servant said to him, do whatever is in your heart, in your mind. See, I am with you in every impulse of your heart. Then Jonathan said, now we will go over to these men and let them see us. If they, in verse 9, if they say to us, keep quiet where you are till we come to you, then we will keep our places and not go up to them. But if they say, come up to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has given them into our hands. And this will be the sign up to us. 11 says, and they let the Philistine force see the two of them. And the Philistine said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have taken cover. And the army, in verse 12, and the armed men of the force gave Jonathan and his servant their answer, saying, come up here to us, and we will let you see something. Then Jonathan said to his servant, come up after me, for the Lord has given them up into the hands of Israel. And Jonathan went up, gripping with his hands and his feet, his servant going up after him. And the Philistines gave way before Jonathan when he made an attack on them. And his servant put them to death after him. Cool. 14 says that at their first attack, Jonathan and his servant put to the sword about 20 men, all inside the space of half an acre of land. And there was great fear in the tents and in the field and among all the men of the armed force. And the attackers were shaken with fear. Even the earth was moved with a great shaking, and there was a fear as from God. Yeah, God was on his side. You see, Saul didn't understand. God had come upon him and he slayed folks. He won battles. He didn't win that many like David. Now, he wasn't a fearless man like David. But nonetheless, God blessed him, even blessed Jonathan going over fooling with the Philistines. Yeah. So in 16 it said, and the watchmen of Saul, looking out for Jeba in the land of Benjamin, saw all the army flowing away and running here and there. Then Saul said to the people who were with him, let everyone be numbered and let us see who has gone from us. And when they had been numbered, it was seen that Jonathan and his servants were not there. Yeah, Jonathan over there fighting Philistines. 18 says, and Saul said to Ahijah, let the ephod come here. But he went before Israel with the ephod at that time. Now, while Saul was talking to the priest, the noise in the tents of the Philistines became louder and louder. And Saul said to the priest, take back your hand. Verse 20. And Saul and all the people with him came together and went forward to the fight. And every man's sword was turned against the man at his side. And there was a very great noise. God turned them against each other. 21. Then the Hebrews who had been with the Philistines for some time and had gone up with them to their tents, turning around, were joined to those who were with Saul and Jonathan. Yeah, they were set free. And all the men of Israel who had taken cover in the hill country of Ephraim, hearing that the Philistines had been put to flight, went after them, attacking them. So the Lord made Israel safe that day, and the fight went over to Bethaven. And all the people were with Saul, about 20,000 men, and the fight was general through all the hill country of Ephraim. But Saul made a great error that day by putting the people under an oath, saying, look, Saul just made one mistake after another. If you in leadership, you got to stay in God. You got to stay close to him. You got to make sure you're following him and what he says. Yeah. So look, he made a big mistake that day. A great mistake, a great error, by putting the people under oath, saying, let that man be cursed. Let that man be cursed who takes food before evening comes. And I have given punishment. Okay, cut it out now. And I have given punishment to those who are against me. So the people had not a taste of food. Yeah. Now, you're going out to fight and you're not going to feed me. You're not going to let me eat. I'm going to get weak. So he told him, look, make an oath. Let that man be cursed who take food before evening comes. And I have given punishment to those who are against me. So the people had not a taste of food. And there was honey on the face of the field. And all the people came to the honey, the bees having gone from it. But not one man put his hand to his mouth for fear of the curse. Yeah, they weren't going to eat. But Jonathan, in verse 27, but Jonathan, having no knowledge of the oath his father had put on the people, stretching out the rod which was in his hand, put the end of it in the honey and put it to his mouth. Then his eyes were made bright. He didn't know. All right, Brother Lewis, he had to run again. Okay, so look, Jonathan didn't know the oath. Remember, him and his servant was over there fighting with them Philistines. And he didn't know the oath, but he done took. Oh, my goodness. He took the rod. Stretched out the rod, which was in his hand. Put the end of it in the honey and put it in his mouth. Then his eyes were made bright. 28 says, then one of the people said to him, your father put the people under an oath, saying, let that man be cursed who takes any food this day. And the people were feeble, needing food. Yeah, they was fainting. They needed to eat. 29 says, then Jonathan said, my father has made trouble come on the land. Now see how bright my eyes have become because I have taken a little of this honey. In other words, he felt better. He was more alert. He had a little food in him, a little taste of food even. 30 says, how much more if the people had freely taken their food from the goods of those who were fighting against them? Would there not have been much greater destruction among the Philistines? So he's saying, they couldn't fight good because they was hungry and they was weak. They didn't have no nourishment in them, you know? 31 says, that day they overcame the Philistines from Mishmash to Ajalon, and the people were feeble from need of food. 32 says, and rushing at the goods taken in the fight, the people took oxen and sheep and young oxen and put them to death there on the earth, and had a meal taking the flesh with the blood in it. Wow. 33 says, then it was said to Saul, see, the people are sinning against the Lord, taking the blood with the flesh. And he said to those who gave him the news, now let a great stone be rolled to me here. And Saul said, go about among the people and say to them, let every man come here to me with his ox and his sheep and put them to death here and take his meal. Do no sin against the Lord by taking the blood with the flesh. So all the people took their oxen with them that night and put them to death there. And Saul put up an altar to the Lord that was the first altar which he put up to the Lord. 36 says, and Saul said, let us go down after the Philistines by night, attacking them till the morning, till there is not a man of them living. And they said, do whatever seems right to you. Then the priest said, let us come near to God. 37 said, and Saul, desiring direction from God, said, I am to go down after the Philistines. Yeah, well, he said, am I to go down after the Philistines? Will you give them up into the hands of Israel? But he gave him no answer that day. 38 says, and Saul said, come near, all ye chiefs of people, and let us get word from God and see in whom is this sin today. Well, he was trying to learn a little something right there. Consult God. Don't just start doing stuff. Don't nobody eat nothing. And you've been battling, fighting. Yeah. Learn some. He said, wait 7 days. You couldn't do that. You went to making burnt offerings that wasn't supposed to be in peace offerings or whatever that you wasn't supposed to do, King Saul. Yeah. 40 says, then he said to all Israel, you be on one side, and I with Jonathan, my son, would be on the other side. And the people said to Saul, do whatever seems good to you. 41 says, then Saul said to the Lord, the God of Israel, why have you not given me an answer today? If the sin is in me or in Jonathan, my son, O Lord God of Israel, give Urim. And if it is in your people Israel, give Thurman. And by the decision of the Lord, Saul and Jonathan were marked out, and the people went free. 42 says, and Saul said, give your decision between my son Jonathan and me. And Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, give me an account of what you have done. And Jonathan gave him the story and said, certainly I took a little honey on the end of my rod, and now death is to be my fate. And Saul said, may God's punishment be on me if death is not your fate, Jonathan. 45, and the people said to Saul, is death to come to Jonathan, the worker of this great salvation of Israel? Let it not be so. The living Lord, not one hair of his head is to be touched. By the living Lord, not one hair of his head is to be touched. But he has been working with God today. So the people kept Jonathan from death. 46 says, then Saul turning back went after the Philistines no longer. And the Philistines went back to their place. 47 says, now when Saul had taken his place as ruler of Israel, he made war on those who were against him on every side, Moab and the Ammonites and Edom and the king of Zobah and the Philistines. And whichever way he went, he overcame them. For God was with him. 48 says, and he did great things and overcame the Amalekites and made Israel safe from the hands of the attackers. 49 says, now the sons of Saul were Jonathan and Ishbak and Melchishua, and these are the names of his daughter. The older was named Merab, and the younger Mishael. The name of Saul's wife was Ahinoam, the daughter of Ahimaaz. The captain of his army was Abner, the son of Ner, brother of Saul's father. Kish, the father of Saul, and Ner, the father of Abner, were sons of Abiel. Although the life of Saul there was bitter war against the Philistines, and whenever Saul saw any strong man or any good fighting man, he kept him near him. Yeah, because Saul wasn't a strong warrior. He wasn't like David, I would say. David was about that war. David was about fighting. And he didn't mix no words about it. He went out to do what he was going to do. And his hands was bloody because he had killed so many people. Yeah. David didn't play the radio when it come to fighting. Oh, you want to fight? Oh, y'all want to come over here? Because, see, he learned as a boy, God was on his side and God would fight battles and he would win battles. Yeah. When he come back from the first battle, the women were singing and Saul got jealous. And Saul went out and killed thousands, but David went out and killed 10,000. Oh, yeah. He didn't like all of that. But he just didn't have what David had. Yeah. And David stayed in obedience with God once he learned from his mistake. So we're looking at 1 Samuel 15. Well, I tell you what, I got to take a break right quick. So we're going to go to one quick song. Don't y'all sleep. Don't y'all sleep. Y'all stay focused. And we're going to talk a little bit further. And in between that, if you have something you want to say, raise your hand. Press that number one. You don't have to wait until 9 o'clock. Yeah, you can press that number one anytime and come in. Hallelujah. So look, let's go to this one.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Mary, Mary. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. I got to go on. I must continue on with God. Yeah, he's faithful. He's faithful. So we're looking at chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, starting at the first verse. And Samuel said to Saul, the Lord sent me to put the holy oil on you and to make you king over his people, over Israel. So give ear now to the words of the Lord. Remember now, Saul, God sent me to put his holy oil on you and to make you king over his people, over Israel. So now if he did that, I need you to give ear. I need you to listen to the words of the Lord now. I need you to listen. In verse 2, it says, the Lord of armies says, I will give punishment to Amalek for what he did to Israel, fighting against him on the way when Israel came out of Egypt. Go now and put Amalek to the sword, putting to the curse all they have without mercy. Put to death every man and woman, every child and baby at the beast, every ox and sheep, camel and ass. This is what Samuel told Saul that God said for Saul to do. Now remember, he messed up when he was burning the offerings. He didn't wait the 7 days. And God looked over that. He continued to bless him. But now he's given new instructions to Saul. Kill Amalek and put to death every man and woman, every child and baby at the breast. Every ox and sheep, camel and ass. Every newborn baby, every child, everybody over there, every animal, put them to death. Everything they got, kill it. In other words, that's what he's telling Saul to do. And verse 4 says, and Saul sent for the people and had them number and tell him 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the town of Amalek and took up his position in the valley secretly. He eased in there. Yeah, he went in there easy. The Amalekites didn't even know he was there. They didn't even know he was coming. Because God told him, now look, go now, in 3 he says, go now, put Amalek to the sword, putting to the curse all they have without mercy. So I went now, and he went in secretly. And 6 says, and Saul said to the Kenites, go away, take yourselves out from among the Amalekites. Our destruction will overtake you with them. For you were kind to the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. So the Kenites went away from among the Amalekites. Verse 7 says, and Saul made an attack on the Amalekites from Habala, on the road to Shur, which is before Egypt. 8 says, and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, prisoner, and put all the people to the sword without mercy. But now the instructions was for him to kill the Amalekite king. He said to kill everybody and show no mercy. 9 says, but Saul and the people did not put Agag to death, and they kept the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fat beast and the lambs and whatever was good, not desiring to put them to the curse. But everything which was bad and of no use, they put it to the curse. They killed it. But they left the king alive. And they took the best cows and lambs and sheep and whatever was good over there, that's what they took. But God said, kill everything. He didn't tell them to bring no spoil out of there. He didn't tell them to let the king live. Verse 10 says, then the Lord said to Samuel, 11, it is no longer my pleasure for Saul to be king, for he has turned back from going in my ways and has not done my orders. And Samuel was very sad, crying to the Lord in prayer all night. Verse 12 says, and early in the morning he got up and went to Saul. And word was given to Samuel that Saul had come to Carmel and put up a pillar and had gone from there down to Gilgal. 13 says, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, may the blessings of the Lord be with you. I have done what was ordered by the Lord. 14 says, and Samuel said, what then is the sound of the crying of sheep and the noise of oxen which comes to my ear? And Saul said in 15, they have taken them from the Amalekites, for the people have kept the best of the sheep and of the oxen as an offering to the Lord your God. All the rest we have given up to destruction. 16 says, then Samuel said to Saul, say no more. Let me give you word of what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said to him, say on. 17, and Samuel said, though you may seem little to yourself, are you not head of the tribes of Israel? For the Lord with the holy oil made you king over Israel. And the Lord sent you on a journey and said, go and put to the curse those sinners, the Amalekites, fighting against them till everyone is dead. That was the instructions I understood. Why then did you not do the orders of the Lord, but by violently taking their goods, did evil in the eyes of the Lord? And Saul said, truly, I have done the orders of the Lord and have done the way of the Lord sent me, done the way the Lord sent me. I have taken Agag, the king of Amalek, and have given the Amalekites up to destruction. That wasn't what God told him to do. But the people took some of their goods, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which were put to the curse, to make an offering to them, to the Lord your God in Gilgal. 22, and Samuel said, had the Lord as much delight in offerings and burnt offering as in the doing of his orders? Truly to do his pleasure is better than to make offerings and to give ear to him than the fat of sheep. Look what it said now. In the King James Version, it says this, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He has also rejected thee from being king. Remember, he told him when he over there burning the sacrifices and all of that, the offerings and all of that, when he didn't wait the 7 days, he said that God was already looking for a replacement for him. But Saul evidently forgot that. So 24 says, and Saul said to Samuel, great is my sin, for I have gone against the orders of the Lord and against your words, because fearing the people, I did what they said. This is second time with that. When he didn't wait the 7 days, that's what happened. He feared the people and honored them and obeyed them more than he did what God said to do. Yeah. He looking at the people, and he thinking the people going to keep him as king. But God made you king. Samuel told him, look, God sent me to put the holy oil on you and made you king over his people. But evidently, again, he forgot. In verse 29, it says this. Well, let's go back up to 28. And Samuel said to him, the Lord has taken away the kingdom of Israel from you this day by force and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you? My goodness alive. 29 says, and further, the glory of Israel will not say what is false, and his purpose may not be changed. For he is not a man whose purpose may be changed. That's it. God has said what he meant and meant what he said, and he's not changing it, Saul. You will no longer be king. Really, he then took it from you. And he was already looking for a man to replace it. A man that was going to do everything God wanted him to do. So 30 said, then he said, great is my sin, but still give me honor now before the head of my people and before Israel. And come back with me so that I may give worship to the Lord your God. 31 says, so Samuel went back after Saul, and Saul gave worship to the Lord. In verse 32 of 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 32, then Samuel said, make Agag, the king of the Amalekites, come here to me. And Agag came to him shaking with fear. And Agag said, truly the pain of death is past. See, he didn't think he was going to die. After Saul allowed him to come out of Amalek and come back with him to Gilgal, I'm not going to die now. So he thinking the pain of death done passed him. 33 says, and Samuel said, as your sword has made women without children, so now your mother will be without children among women. And Agag was cut up by Samuel, bone from bone, before the Lord in Gilgal. The prophet killed him. Yeah. In 34 it says, then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gibeon, in the land of Saul. And Samuel never saw Saul again to the day of his death. But Samuel was sorrowing for Saul, and it was no longer the Lord's pleasure for Saul to be king over Israel. We have to be careful. God will move you. God will take his anointing from you. Mm-hmm. You're not going to do what he says. You're going to have to do it. You're going to do what pleases you and use the excuse, I'm going to do this and give it to the Lord. He don't need your sacrifices. He said obedience is better than the sacrifice. It's best we obey God. I know people do stuff and they try to bring money. I'm going to give a big offering because of what they've done. Pastors and preachers, they try to go an extra mile because what they done did in the house of the Lord, and they knew they was wrong. And thought because you gave that, God was going to overlook what you've done. Again, he said, obedience is better than the sacrifice. Hallelujah. Yeah, so now he getting ready to go and find David. He's getting ready to send Samuel to find David. Because it said, after this episode, Samuel didn't see Saul no more until the day of his death. Yeah, Samuel died. But over in 1 Samuel chapter 16, in verse 1, it says this, and the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you go on sorrowing for Saul? In other words, he was mourning for him. Oh, he felt so bad that God had taken the authority and the position of king from Saul. So God asked him, how long are you going to mourn for him? Seeing that I have put him from his place as king over Israel. Take all in your vessel and go. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have got a king for myself among his sons. Yes, sir. Jesse's son, David. Oh, yeah. In verse 2, it says, and Samuel said, how is it possible for me to go? If Saul gets news of it, he will put me to death. And the Lord say, take a young cow with you and say, I have come to make an offering to the Lord. And send for Jesse to be present at the offering. and I will make clear to you what you are to do. And you are to put the holy oil on him whose name I give you. And Samuel did as the Lord said and came to Bethlehem. And the responsible men of the town came out to him in fear and said, "Do you come in peace?" And he said, "In peace, I have come to make an offering to the Lord. Make yourself clean and come with me to make the offering." And he made Jesse and his sons clean and sent for them to be present at the offering. Now, when they came looking at Eliab, he said, "Clearly the man of the Lord's selection is before him." See, because we look at the outer appearance. We look at how tall, how nice looking, how sturdy. They look strong. This is what we look at, the outer appearance. But God knows the very intent of the heart. So in verse 7 it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not take note of his face or how tall he is. I told you, because I will not have him, for the Lord's view is not man. Man take notes of the outer form, but the Lord sees the heart." Hallelujah. 8 says, "Then Jesse sent for Abinadab and made him come before Samuel. And he said, the Lord has not taken this one." Yeah. No, I'm not taking him either. Verse 9 says, "Then Jesse made Shammah come before him. And he said, the Lord has not taken this one. And Jesse made his 7 sons come before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not taken any of these. Then Samuel said to Jesse, are all your children here? And he said, there is still the youngest, and he is looking after the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and make him come here, for we will not take our seats till he is here." Yeah. This is the youngest boy. He done went through all the 7 sons and Jesse had 8. Went through all of them. And the Lord told him, no, not that one. No, not that one. No, not that one. And he asked him, well, do you have any more children? Yeah. Are all your children here? And he said, there's still the youngest and he is looking after the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and make him come here, for we will not take our seats till he is here. Because see, now Samuel knowing that that's going to be king right there. That's who's going to replace Saul. In verse 12, it says, so he sent and made him come in. Now he had red hair and beautiful eyes and pleasing looks. And the Lord said, come, put the oil on him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the bottle of oil and put the oil on him there among his brothers. And from that day, the Spirit of the Lord came on David with power. So Samuel went back to Ramah. Now the Spirit of the Lord had gone from Saul, and the evil spirit from the Lord was troubling him. Verse 15 now. And Saul's servant said to him, see now, an evil spirit from God is troubling you. Now give orders to your servant who are here before you to go in search of a man who is an expert player on a coded instrument. And it will be that when the evil spirit from God is on you, he will make music for you on his instrument and you will get well. In other words, every time that evil spirit come on you, let somebody with an instrument that's coded, a harp, because that's what it's going to be. Let him come and play for you. The evil spirit going to ease off you. I told you God got evil angels. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. He made the heavens and the earth. He controlled it all. He sent evil angels to go down there and deal with Pharaoh. Now he's sending the evil spirit upon Saul, disobedient Saul. Yeah. So 17 says, and Saul said to his servant, then get me a man who is an expert player and make him come to me. 18 says, then one of the servants in answer said, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is expert at playing and a strong man and a man of war, and he is wise in his words and pleasing in looks, and the Lord is with him. So Saul, verse 19, so Saul sent his servants to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took 5 cakes of bread and a skin of wine and a young goat and sent them to Saul by David. And David came to Saul in verse 21, waiting before him. And he became very dear to Saul, who made him his servant, giving him the care of his arms. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David be with me, for he is pleasing to me. Verse 23, and whenever the evil spirit from God came on Saul, David took his instrument and made music. So new life came to Saul, and he got well, and the evil spirit went away from him. Each time he called David in, and did you see up here where it says that, he became very dear to Saul. Yeah. But once Saul figured out David is his replacement, David got the anointing, in other words, and he don't. God done took the anointing from him and gave it to David. Because that's what Samuel said. He took the anointing from Saul and given it to his neighbor, which was David. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, we should have enough time to read this one. So we're looking at 1 Samuel now, chapter 17 and verse 1. Now the Philistines got their armies together for war and came together at Socoh in the land of Judah and took up their position between Socoh and Azekah in Ephrathamim. Yeah, I have to check every now and then on the chat. Okay, so now, in verse 2 it says, and Saul and the men of Israel came together and took up their position in the valley of Elah and put their forces in order against the Philistines. Verse 3 says, the Philistines were stationed on the mountain on one side and Israel on the mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And a fighter came out from the tents of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath. He was more than 6 cubits tall, and he had a head dressed of brass on his head, and he was dressed in a coat of metal, the weight of which was 5,000 shekels of brass. That was a big boy. His legs were covered with plates of brass, and hanging on his back was a javelin of brass. Good night. The stem of his spear was as long as a cloth worker's rod, and his head was made of 600 shekels weight of iron. And one went before him with his body covered. He took up his position, and then a loud voice said to the armies of Israel, why have you come out to make war? Am I not a Philistine, and you servants of Saul? Send out a man for yourself, and let him come down to me. Verse 9 says, if he is able to have a fight with me and overcome me, then we will be your servants. But if I am able to overcome him, then you will be our servants and do work for us. Oh, Goliath's out here talking big talk. Oh, yeah. Oh, with his big tall self. Oh, he just know he all of that. And the Philistines said, I have put to shame the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man so that we may have a fight together. Yeah, this Goliath. And Saul and all Israel, hearing those words of the Philistines, were troubled and full of fear. Now David, the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, named Jesse, who had 8 sons, and he was an old man in Saul's day and far on in years. And the three oldest sons of Jesse had gone with Saul to the fight. The names of the three who went to the fight were Eliab, the oldest, and Abinadab, the second, and Shammah, the third. And David was the youngest, and the three oldest were with Saul's army. Now David went to and from Saul, looking after his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines came near every morning and every evening for 40 days. And Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dry grain and these 10 cakes of bread, and go quickly with them to the tent to your brother. And take these 10 cheeses to the captains of their thousand and see how your brothers are, and come back with a sign to say how they are. In verse 19, now Saul and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David got up early in the morning and giving the sheep into the care of a keeper, took the things and went as Jesse had said. And he came to the lines where the carts were when the armies was going out to the fight, giving their war cry. And Israel and the Philistines had put their forces in position, army against army. Verse 22 says, and David gave his parcels into the hands of the keepers of the army stores, and went running to the army and came to his brothers to get knowledge about them. And while he was talking to them, the fighter, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came out from the Philistine's line and said the same words in David's hearing. In verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw him, went in flight, overcome with fear. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man? Clearly he has come out to put shame on Israel. And it is certain that if any man overcomes him, the king will give the man great wealth and will give him his daughter and make his father's family free in Israel. Verse 26 says, and David said to the men near him, what will be done to the man who overcomes this Philistine and takes away the shame of Israel? For who is this Philistine, a man without circumcision, that he has put shame on the armies of the living God? Yeah, David said this in the King James Version. I like this better. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Oh, yeah, the little boy. The little boy out there talking big talk. So 27 says, and the people gave him this answer, so it will be done to the man who overcomes him. And Eliab, his oldest brother, hearing what David said to the men, was moved to wrath against David and said, why have you come here? Into whose care have you given that little flock of sheep in the wasteland? I have knowledge of your pride and the evil of your heart. You have come down to see the fight. He got mad with him, the oldest brother. You just up to no good, David. You come down to see the fight. And in other words, I heard what you said over there. Where the sheep dad had you over? And you're full of pride and evil in your heart. And you just come down to see the fight. 29 says, and David said, what have I done now? Was it not only a word? 30 says, and turning away from him to one of the other men, he said the same words. And the people gave him the same answer. 31 says, and hearing what David said, they gave Saul word of it, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart become feeble because of him. I, your servant, will go out and have a fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and have a fight with him, for you are only a boy, and he has been a man of war from his earliest days. In other words, he had been a warrior a long time, basically all his life. So 34 says this, and David said to Saul, your servant has been keeper of his father's sheep. And if a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him and overcame him and took it out his mouth. And if turning on me, he came at me, I took him by the hair and overcame him and put him to death. A lion or a bear. See, because God done anointed. Remember, Samuel anointed him with that oil. Yeah. So 36 says, your servant has overcome lion and bear and the fate of this Philistine who is without circumcision will be like theirs, seeing that he has put shame on the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who kept me safe from the grip of the lion and the bear will be my savior from the hands of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and may the Lord be with you. Then Saul gave David his clothing of war and put a headdress of brass on his head and had him clothed with a coat of metal. And David took Saul's sword and put the band round him over the metal coat and was unable to go forward, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, it is not possible for me to go out with these, for I am not used to them. So David took them off. Verse 40 says, then he took his stick in his hand and got five smooth stones from the bed of the stream and put them in a bag such as is used by sheep keepers. And in his hand was a leather band used for sending stones. And so he went in the direction of the Philistines. That was the slingshot, the rocks and the slingshot. He got his weapon now. 41 says, and the Philistines came nearer to David, and the man who had his body covered went before him. 42 says, and when the Philistines, taking note, saw David, he had a poor opinion of him, for he was only a boy, red-haired and good-looking. And the Philistines said to David, am I a dog that you come out to me with sticks? And the Philistine put curses on David by all his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come here to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. In verse 45, it says, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of armies of the God of the armies of Israel, on which you have put shame. This day the Lord will give you up into my hand, and I will overcome you and take your head off you. And I will give the bodies of the Philistines' armies to the birds and the air and the beast of the earth today, so that all the earth may see that Israel has a God. Oh, yeah. Now, look, now, over 46 in the King James Version, I like this one, too. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all these people who are here today may see that the Lord does not give salvation by sword and spear, for the fight is the Lord, and he will give you up into our hands. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Listen, and all the assemblies shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. 48 says, now when the Philistine had made a move and came near to David, that's that Goliath, David quickly went at a run in the direction of the army, meeting the Philistine face to face. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and sent it from his leather band straight at the Philistine. And the stone went deep into his brow, and he went down to the earth, falling on his face. Look at this. So David overcame the Philistine with his leather band and a stone, wounding the Philistine and causing his death. But David had no sword in his hand. One stone took him out of here. 51 says, so running up to the Philistine and putting his foot on him, David took his sword out of his cover and put him to death, cutting off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their fighter was dead, they went in flight. Oh, they took off running. They took off running. Time to go. He done killed the giant. The giant was our savior. He was going to save us and cause us to destroy Israel and make them shame. But this little boy come out with a stone and done killed our giant. We got to go. So running up to the... Okay, wait. Yeah. So they went in flight. 52 says, and the men of Israel and of Judah got up and gave a cry and went after the Philistines as far as Gath and the town doors of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines was falling down by the road from Shaarim all the way to Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel came back from going after the Philistines and took their goods from the tents. And David took the head of the Philistine to Jerusalem, but the metal wall dress and the arms he put in his tent. And when Saul saw David going out against the Philistines, he said to Abner, the captain of the army, Abner, whose son is this young man? And Abner said, on your life, O king, I have no idea. And the king said, make search and see whose son this young man is. And when David was coming back after the destruction of the Philistines, Abner took him to Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, young man, whose son are you? And David in answer said, I'm the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehem. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Ooh, ooh. We're going to go on to verse number 18, maybe on Tuesday. We may be able to get to it on Monday. If not on Tuesday, we'll get there, yeah, and keep going. Hallelujah. May God bless the hearer and the doer of his word, because I often remember the prophet Samuel. I often remember Saul and David and the things that took place. And I'm so glad for the understanding of it, because I didn't understand at first. And I thought the Psalms was for a totally different thing. But this is how the Psalms come about. David wrote from the things he went through. Yeah, in 1st and 2nd Samuel. Hallelujah. And over in Kings, yeah, he wrote. And so we're grateful unto the Lord for his words. For his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And forever, O God, that word is settled in heaven. Listen, I'm going to one more song of the morning. And when we come back, the studio is open. If anyone have anything they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one and come in today.
My faith beating.
spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. The studio is open. Today is Testify Friday. Come in and share a testimony with us today. Tell us of the goodness of the Lord, what he's done in your life. It may be when you first got saved. It may be after you got saved that he worked a miracle even in your life. You prayed and he heard your cry. Come on, talk to us today. All right, Irene, I am coming at you right now. Good morning, God
yes.
bless you.
How good are morning. You? Yeah, I'm fine. It's good to listen to the message. Like, never be afraid of giants, eh? When God is on your side. That came out good. David did it with one stone. I like to say a prayer. Can I say a prayer this morning?
Yes, yes.
I wanna thank God for his word and his love this morning.
Amen.
I wanna thank him for giving us the breath of life, for his loving grace, for his kindness, for his mercy. And I ask him, Lord, open our minds that we may be aware of your presence. Open our hearts that we may offer you all our thoughts. Lord, open our mouth that we may speak to you and make us aware of those around us who need us. Lord, spirit of wisdom and discernment, to make choices that honor and glorify you. Lord, this day we commit ourselves to your hands and we ask that you sustain us, favor us, never leave us our sight, carry us in your protective hands. And Lord, most of all, let everything we do bring glory to you. And take us through today with your grace, your peace, your protection. Lord, and make us remember and obey. It's all about you. Lord, it's all about you. We thank you for your loving kindness. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Oh,
amen. Again, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we need discernment. And Lord, we need to remember that it's you. Because of you, we have all that we have. Because of you, we breathe and we live and we have uses of activities of limbs and all these things because of Almighty God that have on top. Oh, I'm thankful unto him this day. I give him glory. I give him the honor and I give him praise because there's none like him. None like him.
No.
So again, this morning, the studio is open. If there's anyone have something they would like to say. If not, I'll start a brief testimony. And anybody, I see your hand raised, I can cut mine off and jump right in with yours. But listen today, I know that God is able and he can see us through. And I know this for myself. I bought a pair of Adidas, and these shoes, they came out of China because they was on this thing called Wish. And I think I bought these shoes in 2019. And I bought them for my son, and for some reason, he never got them. I never gave them to him, but I had them in the closet. And you know God is faithful. I had them in the closet, didn't even remember where they were or that I had even bought them. And I said, that's when you got too much stuff. And so Thelma comes and she helped me to start organizing and cleaning things out. And I found the shoes. And I had told this friend, I said, well, I'll get you a pair. You know, I said, because you got a kind of small foot, feet, you know. And I didn't know where I got the shoes from. I could not remember. And yesterday I was on looking at my history that I had shopped on Wish with. And there was the shoes. And I called you back on the air. Yeah. Okay. So I had to find, that's my son there, I had to find where I got them from, but I didn't know where I had got them from. But when we want to give, God loves a cheerful giver. Whether it's to your family, whether it's to a stranger, God will make a way out of no way. I was sharing with Erica, the one I told you could cook real good from Jamaica. And I was telling her, I said, well, we could cook, because she loved cooking, and take the food to the mission. She said, I would love to do that. Boy, you should have saw her face light up. She said, I always wanted to do that, but I didn't really know how to go about it. Because, you know, they have so many rules and regulations and stipulations now. Because if people say you poison them, it's a big deal. And so I was telling her what all we could do. And she said, oh, yeah. I said, we could even cook the food, put it in the to-go plate, you know, the disposable plate, box it up, drop it off to the mission, the local mission, homeless shelter, and they would give it to the people. We have one called Five Baca, City Rescue Mission. And there may be another one or two. I can't remember right off. But I'm sure if we contact the administrator of Five Baca of the rescue mission, which I had a contact at the city rescue mission. I just have to call him and make sure he's still there, which I'm sure he is. He wasn't going to give that job up, and I know it, because he was a cook and over the kitchen. So I was telling Erica we could do that. And I was telling her I know a person that, you know, we could get some food from. They would give us some food to cook, to carry to them. And we could buy the they call them styrofoam plates, I think that's what they call, but to put your food in it and take it with you. And we could do that in advance, buy all the paper goods, you know, the styrofoam, the cups and the lids, and the small ones, you know, and some of them have three compartments. And then once we get our paper goods, you know, the fork, the spoon, the napkin and the knives, once we get our paper goods, then we could go in and get our food. And if we're doing chicken or whatever we're doing, we could start working on that. Matter of fact, we could do it for a holiday. Yeah. Because I don't think Labor Day is such a big deal. But I think on you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, on those days is huge. So I'm just, you know, thinking of things that we can do that we give. Because I used to go in the project in the low-income area and give out lunches to the children. But they even stopped me from that. They put me outside the gate and let me know, you know, no, don't come back. So I stopped going. But to cook and to take it to the mission, that would be a beautiful thing because we know it's clean. We know what's in it. And I'm sure they would love those stew peas. Oh, I know they would love that. And we, you know, roast off some chicken. And because if we got like 10 chickens and roasted them off, if she roasts five, I roast five. If we cut them up, you know, we probably could do 100 dinners. 100 lunches, you know, and take over there. So I was thinking because she went to visit a mom for Mother's Day in Jamaica. And I was thinking by the time she get back, what could I have lined up? So I was thinking of doing a grab bag online. And you purchase the grab bag. And you, let's say you purchase it for $10. And what you get in there may be worth $40, $50, $100. It may be one item in there, but that one item may be worth $50, $30, you know, and you only paid $10 for it. So I was thinking of those things to do and raise the money to buy the food to cook and take it over to Sars Baca and the City Rescue Mission. Yeah. God always give me something. Always give me something. And he loves a cheerful giver. Yeah. And it's all right in Jesus' name. And listen, I want to ask the intercessors to pray for my granddaughter, Brianna. I need you to lift her up in prayer. She's in the hospital. So lift her up in prayer. That's my third oldest biological son, daughter. He only have one. And so we want to be in prayer for Miss Brianna Holly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm grateful to the Lord for every door that come open for me. And that's my testimony. Every door that come open for me that I can walk through and obey God, I'm on it. I am on it. I am on it. And see, I read like Jerry. Every this door come open, I'm going to testify. This door come open to me. I don't care what nobody think or say. Every morning, I'm going to say something to the goodness of God. I'm going to pray one morning. The next morning, I'm going to talk about how it touched my heart, his word. You know, what he's done for me, how I feel about it. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. And if anybody's sitting back saying, well, she needs to shut up. Well, look here, you're not saying nothing. Do something. Yeah, don't talk about it. Be about it, you know. If you tired of her saying something, beat her to the punch. When you see 850 come, click that number one. Yeah, so you can come in and say something. Talk as long as you need to. Yeah. And we're grateful to the Lord. I thank God for people like Irene. I thank God for people like Jerry. They're going to open their mouth and say something. It's not sometime. It's not on special occasion. They're going to open their mouth every day and say something about the goodness of Almighty God, because he has been good to us. Hallelujah. God bless you this morning, Sister Samoa and my baby Laura, my God baby. Good morning to you. Pastor David, God bless you, sir. And a good morning to you, Sister Andrea Spinner. Y'all excuse me. And Sister Sion and Sister Dorothy Goodman this morning and Sister Irene. Where did that Jerry Crowd go today? She must have had an appointment or something. Because I don't see her number over here. She's somewhere around here. She was commenting earlier on Facebook, and I don't see her number. But nonetheless, we thank God this morning, and we're going to keep her sister-in-law in prayer, Brenda. And we're going to keep Ashley in prayer and all the different ones that we have prayed for earlier this week. We want to keep them in prayer and keep them lifted up. Because sometimes, I know you think, well, she prayed that one time, you know, they on the prayer list daily. I touch and agree with my prayer warrior. My intercessor, and we pray, yeah. And every day we, you know, bring that up, we mention that. But I believe, too, that God heard me the first time, and he's doing it, but he's doing it in his timing. So I trust him. But sometimes we go back to him the next day, the next day, the next day, yeah, until we hear something or we feel something or he show me something, you know. But God is good. He's never too busy, and he don't get tired of us asking or coming to him or whatever, praising him and worshiping him. But I know that his ears are not deaf and his arms are not too short to reach down to fix anything on the first prayer. I saw that when I wanted a house. He said, I heard you the first time. Woo! So I know he heard our prayer requests for others the first time. And it's all right in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we thank God this morning. And I have one request. And I'm going to the request. Wait a minute. Somebody I was supposed to make a dedication to. And I believe that was Thelma. Thelma, forgive me. I will get your dedication done for Monday, because yesterday I was under the weather and I just really wasn't feeling good. But I would get your request done for Monday, and then I have one I'm going to dedicate by LaShawn Pace Rhodes to Brother Louis. Yeah, I didn't forget. I just didn't get it yesterday because downloaded into the studio because I wasn't coming back in here in this office. I wasn't feeling it. But all right, let's go to this one. And after this one, if no one else have anything they would like to say, I will pray us out today. And we pray the Lord bless us to come back Monday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. God bless you.
Oh, yeah.
inspiring and encouraging you all day long. Jesus in the Morning Radio with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. The person wanted to make sure I play the entire song this morning, so I had to allow it to go on. I mean, to finish out. And God is. He's our all and all. And we thank him. We thank him for being just that. No one else have anything they would like to say this morning? I thought maybe somebody picked something out that scripture is Friday and say something today. But all right. I want to say this. Those who have not given their $100, if you can give it today, because we need to pay that by tomorrow. It needs to be paid. And I was waiting on two people to try and give me $800, and I was going to try to squeeze what I could back in there. Thank you, Irene. And I want to do that and get it tallied up today so they can have it all, pay it tomorrow. And we tell God, thank you that we completed a milestone. We completed a seed planting ceremony unto a family who was in dire straits. So listen, we keep praying for them, and we keep praying that we finish all of this up, and we will be all right. I think about $200 is missing. I think we're $200 short. So all we need is $200 more dollars, and we should be good. We should have the $1,600. Yeah. And I know Brother Anthony said today, and my daughter said today, but so I will be checking with them in a few minutes. Yeah. And I will tally up what I'm supposed to be doing and go ahead and cash app that on over and get that over with. Yeah. And it will be all right in Jesus' name. All right, area code 407-484, the first three numbers. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I was just, you know, I've been listening, and it's been a busy week. You know, I went to visit my mom and realized that there's things going on with her that we didn't recognize. So it took me to stay a little longer to get some things in order, but we did do that. And for that, I'm thankful to God for that I was able to do that.
Yes.
But I was also just thinking about the scriptures you read this morning. And, you know, something you said resonated with me, you know, about Samuel, that he kept looking. He was focused on what he saw previously, and he was so attached to Saul. And he figured if someone was going to replace him, it had to be someone that was representative of what it is. And so many times we go through life and we put God in a box and think that because he did something one way before, then that's the way he's going to do it again. Not realizing that, you know, He's a God that just does things extraordinary, does things that we will never perceive or think of. We can't just look, as he said, you can't look at someone, and because of the way they look, we think that that's who fits the bill. We sometimes look at ourselves, and that's what we need to pay attention to, is how we view ourselves, because sometimes we discredit ourselves because of the way we look, because of the way we speak, because of what we have, and not knowing that God isn't looking at those things. He's looking at the heart, and he sees and he knows exactly where your heart is, how you, and what your true intent is. Because we can speak things out of the mouth, but it doesn't necessarily mean is what's in our heart. They said, you know, if we were just honest at times with ourselves and with God, he will fix things for us. But sometimes we get impatient and we want to change the course. We want to put things in place. We want to make things happen. Or we go and we start hearing, doing the self-talk, and that messes up what he's doing. Because then he's going to pause and said, okay, if you're going to intervene, then I'm just going to be still. But how about we be still and let God? And I just wanted to interject that this morning.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor David. I thank God for it. And that's just what we do. We get in our own way, and we get in our own head. And we think it's something we are going to be able to do because we've been doing this so long. I can remember when I had a job. And I did day labor for some years, y'all hear me? What they call the labor pool. I worked on the inside, the check cutter, the billing lady, dispatcher, all of that. Collect the customers' money when they, you know, was behind in their payment collection, did it all. OSHA, went on job sites, yeah, construction jobs, I did all of it. But anyway, I can remember when I was working, and, you know, I just thought the resources was my job, the money I made. And, you know, I would take on some side stuff, you know, and sometimes I would hustle some things, you know, sell some things, and to put the money together to try and help me to take care of my family, you know, my children. But it was like holes was in my pocket because it would never add up. And then I found out that this was later after I truly come to God and I decided to be obedient to the word of God. I'm talking about the 66 books as much as possible. I wasn't paying my tithes and offerings, so holes were in my pocket. I wasn't a faithful giver. I wasn't a cheerful giver. 8 biological children, I thought any giving should have been gave to me because I had the most children. But God fixed all of that. And whenever something would happen, I'm focused on that. I never consider focusing on God, the author and finisher of everything, the one who can fix it all, the one who can turn hearts around, minds around. The one who makes night, day, and day, night, and keep the sun and the moon, the stars. I never considered him. I thought I could do it. And he had to show me, with me, nothing is impossible. All that you did, look what happened to you. All that you did, where the money at? Where the money? You loved it. You love money, and for the love of money, it's the root of all evil. Now, where your money? I didn't have any. I didn't have the house that I wanted or house that I even liked. I had to settle for what I could afford, where I could afford to stay. House on the hill with the dog named Fluffy, forget it. See, because in my mind, I couldn't do it. It wouldn't be done. But I came to Jesus just as I was one day. I was weary, wounded, and sad. I found in him. He didn't find in me. I found in him a resting place. Today I can say he has made me glad. He told me in coming to him that he would make my life better than it had ever been, but just don't go back. And he's a man of his word. He did just that. At 65 years old, my life is much better than it was when I was 18. I know people won't believe that. Girl, you was young. Because see, folk dye in their hair because they don't want to look old. They don't want to be old. But guess what? At 65, folks dye in their hair, they got young hair and an old face. That's what I look at. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You're going to fix your hair, but you can't fix your face. Leave the hair alone, too. Yeah, go ahead and leave it. I've seen preachers. Up in the pulpit, and you can see the dye around the edges of the hair. Y'all forgive me because you know I love a laugh. I say, what the what is that right there? What in the dye? In the Lady Clairol or whoever dyed hair dye? What is that? Who Queen Latifah do die for? What of? I say, what in the world? Hair looking young, but your face looking old. Hands looking old, but your hair look young. I can't do it. I cannot do it. I cannot do it. Because in their mind and in their eyes, they looking good. The hair, and I guess they think the skin's still looking young too, but no ma'am and no sir, cut it out, I say. Stop it, I say. But God is faithful. And he will see us through. He's able to keep us, keep our mind. And he gave us power, love, and a sound mind. This is why we need to pray about every little thing. Lord, I'm aging. I don't like it, but give me joy. Give me peace about this. Show me the way that I can accept my aging. Let me show that I have wisdom. I've aged, but I have wisdom in you. And I can tell some young person about the goodness of you. Help me, Lord. I need your help today. And it's already all right in Jesus' name. Now, if you want to dye red or something, I don't know. Do what you got to do. It's up to you. But I'm waiting on my silver to come in because it's going to be silky straight. I see it already. So we just do what we got to do because I hope mine show wisdom and when I open my mouth, it show wisdom. Now, I like to laugh and play around a lot. I do. But I'm hoping when it's time to be serious, I have something good to tell a younger woman, a younger man, yeah, and be a blessing to them. Hallelujah. Some days I'm running and right in the midst of the running, stop, look, say so-and-so and so-and-so, yeah. That kind of thing. Wisdom. And I thank God for it. So listen, if no one else have anything they would like to say, I'll pray us out. And if you can give me that 100, I think we're missing two, just two, and we'll be good. So I'm going to tally up for me in a minute, and then I'll get back with the person, and then they can tally up, and we'll see where we are. But I'm hoping, I believe we got it. I'm just trusting God that we got all 1,600, but I know we're around too short. Yeah. All right. So we thank God. We thank God, and we're moving on. So let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that has been said and done. Thank you, Lord, for being on our side today in spite of us. Thank you for looking beyond our fault and yet meeting our needs. Thank you for your word, Father, your word. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And Lord, we want to walk according to your word. Give us the wisdom. Give us the strength. Lord, to walk. Give us the mind and the heart and the desire to obey your word at any cost. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we want a spirit of obedience unto you like never before. We want to trust you, God. And we want to do what's pleasing and acceptable unto you. And Lord, it's not lip service. But God, we want to do it from our sincere heart. All because you're more than worthy. As we depart this weekend, bless our going out, Father. Bless our coming in. And meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Lord, we believe we're 200 short. And Father, we ask that you would move on the balance of this 1,600 quickly in the name of Jesus. Lord, we want to do it first thing in the morning. They're able to just send it on through. They don't have to wait. Just send it on through, God. We know the earth is yours, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. And you're able to do it right now in Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another. In the name of Jesus, go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed weekend. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you this weekend, starting May 13, 2022, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye, and we are going to one more song of the morning. And when we come back, I mean, I won't be coming back after this song today.
Jesus, you're my everything, yeah. My everything is you, Lord, yeah.
My everything.
How can I express my gratitude?
Oh, the women of Jericho. Well, that's hurting a little bit today.
How's it going?
Well, I didn't see you in the studio this morning, and you're awfully quiet these days. I had to call and check on the foot. I had to check on you.
No, you didn't see me, and I was talking to you.
You talked to me on Facebook, but I ain't see you in no number. It wasn't in that studio.
See, that's what I'm saying, and I was pressing one.
What is wrong?
Because I was talking to you about 7 days waiting, those that wait on the Lord.